don't know what it's done
for me.
Oh, yes, he gave me the gift. Yes, and that's why I love the Lord. I love him. I really love the Lord.
Amen, amen, amen. If you are visiting with us this morning, you're truly our honored guest, and thank you so much for being a part of our fellowship here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. Our elders will acknowledge all of our visitors at the end of our worship service. We have, over the past eight weeks or so, have been embarking upon a series we've entitled the Jesus Examination Series. The Jesus Examination Series. And we have been taking an intimate, closer look. Brother Gary, we know who Jesus is. We'll get to know him better. Now, you'd be surprised. There are many individuals who have heard of Jesus, but only know the peripherals. And even those that are in search of, those that have not made up their mind, this is just a great study, because you need to put, see, there are some amazing characters, men and women, who have lived throughout history, who will be good if we learned about. But if you're studying them, you surely need to study about Jesus. There are some folk who study about fictitious characters more than they study about Jesus. And it cannot be denied, even those who are unbelievers have written about the facts of Jesus Christ. We talked about his birth in one of the lessons, the authenticity of his life, the historical nature of his birth, written about undeniable affirmations, written about non-believers, pagans, Jews of his day who are not Christians, who wrote about him. We talked about why he came in the flesh, according to the scriptures, and the things that he did to declare, to atone, to restore, to die for our sins, to demonstrate the love of Jesus Christ. And we've gotten into his amazing teaching. His teaching like none other. Taught as one who had authority, because he did have authority. We talked about the way Jesus did. God sent him to this world. He didn't send him as a grown man. He sent him through birth, and Jesus paid his dues, and he studied, and he labored, and he was tempted in every way, just like we are tempted, so that he would be a merciful and faithful Savior to us. Because we talked about on last week his main purpose, the core of his message to all the world. We know that he came here to die for our sins. He came to die that we could have a way back to God, in a way that God would allow us to come back to him. Because whether you believe it or not, God don't take anything. Yes, and we won't come back to God any way we want to come back. And so you have to learn. Now, we know he died for our sins, but not only do you need to know that he died for our sins, he made a way for us to get back to God. See, he died for our sins, and it is a noble act that he did. But he requires us to come. We talked about last week, began talking about the kingdom of God. And that was the core of his message. And I want to run a little bit with you. And I want you to stay with me this morning as we go through some of these passages. Because last week, we tried to illustrate the value of this kingdom. And it's amazing how some people see it and some people don't. Even some non-believers. We focused on Nicodemus, one of the religious Jewish leaders. Yes, he knew God. He knew the Old Testament. He knew the Bible like the back of his hand. But when he came to Jesus, Jesus says, you cannot enter the kingdom of God unless you, Nicodemus, have been born again. And that was Jesus' message. There's somebody here this morning, when you're studying about Jesus and examining his life, you do not miss the core. Don't just study him because you're fascinated with Jesus. Because Jesus came to petition us. He came for us to make a choice. God sent his only begotten Son out of heaven to the world. and he didn't send him for nothing. He's not going to twist our arms, but he demonstrated to us, he's taught us, and God wants us to make a choice whether or not we're going to serve him or we're going to serve the devil. Amen. And that's what this message, that's what all of this is leading to, because yes, we sing the song, "Oh, How I Love Jesus," and I got a question for you this morning. Do you really love Jesus? Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And I know some of you still may not have made up your mind. Let's study a little bit. Let's see if we can examine Jesus a little closer. Everybody's all right this morning? God is good. Stay with me. If you stayed up late last night, that's not my fault. Mark chapter 1, verse 14. Mark 1, 14. Now, after John had taken into custody, now, you know, I don't have time to go over the whole Bible. Amen. You don't want me to do that anyway. This John is John the Baptist. Now, he wasn't called John the Baptist because he was a Baptist by faith. He was called John the Baptist because he baptized people. Amen. Amen. Okay? John had been taken into custody. After he had been taken into custody, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God. Gospel, good news, the message, this communication. Jesus had a message. He still has a message that he's given to preachers and teachers even today, and saying, the time is fulfilled. Jesus is on earth. He's in the ministry. He's going about doing his work. He says, look, the time is full. The time is now. Then he says, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, Jesus is still living on earth. And he tells this message that the kingdom of God is close. It's very, very near. Lord, I hope you understand what the kingdom of God is. You'll see in a minute that the kingdom of God is God's universal kingdom. What Jesus was talking about at this time, his universal kingdom on earth. The word kingdom is used in different ways in the Bible, and sometimes it's talking about the kingdom of heaven, the heavenly reign where God is, but most of the time in the New Testament, it's talking about the kingdom of God on earth, and it's God's universal kingdom. Perk your ears, because you need to hear about this one. Jesus says, repent. In other words, see, in order to get into this kingdom, you got to have this attitude. Repent means to turn from. Turn from what, Brother Gary? I'm glad you asked. Turn from your sins and my sins. Yeah, see, you have to change your mind about sin. Sin is why Jesus came to the world. He came to make a way for our sins to be forgiven. Is there anybody in here who would be bold enough to stand up and say, I haven't sinned? Because if you stand up, you just sin. Amen, somebody. Amen. See, no, this one thing about coming to church. I know some people don't come to church, but all them holy people in church, I don't know what they're talking about. Amen. See, because we all stand naked before God. As sharp as you are, I don't care how much you pay for that suit or that hair you got on. I'm sorry. That just came out. I don't know where that came from. We all. And you know what? I think if we all tell the truth, we probably got something that we ashamed that we even did this week. Amen. Something we said, something we thought, something that we did. Amen. Yeah, can we all relate to each other? Get up off your high horse for a minute. Talking to everybody. I know we've been baptized, many of us, into Jesus Christ. But Jesus says, repent and believe in the gospel. This is the core of his message. Let me keep going. Mark chapter 9, verse 1. Mark chapter 9. And Jesus was saying to them, truly I say to you, this is part of Jesus' message. There are some of those who are standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God. He said, Jesus, when he was there, now, Jesus lived over 2,000 years ago. And when one of his messages, we talked about his calendar in one of our lessons, the very calendar that we use today, even for those as non-believers, it is based on the life and death of Jesus Christ. B.C., before Christ, A.D., the year of our Lord. And folks who don't even believe in the Lord still have to go by that same calendar. Amen. And now we're in the year 2016. And Jesus lived, his life was, some would say, if you started at zero, we know that he started his ministry at about age 30, and his ministry was about 3 years. So 33 years, from zero to 33 years, during Jesus' ministry, from the time he was 30 to 33, he said, some of you are standing here today, and you won't die until you see the kingdom of God come. And so we know that the kingdom of God came somewhere along that time after Jesus died at the age of 33 thereabouts. So 35, you give or take a few. So that has been almost 2,000 years ago. So this kingdom came during that time. He said it's near. And some of you standing here, you're not going to taste death until you see the kingdom. Remember, that's why he came here, for us to get in the kingdom. Somebody in here this morning, if you're not in the kingdom, you really need to listen. Amen. Oh, have mercy. See, and the kingdom predominantly is talking in the New Testament. It's the synonym for the church. The synonym for the church in Matthew 16, 18. Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. He says, and then Peter, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. I don't have time to go through all the details. He says, I'm going to build my church. And Peter, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. If you had time to go to Acts chapter 2, you'll see that Peter preached the first gospel sermon on the day of Pentecost. And it was the first day that the doors of the church, the kingdom, was opened. And he preached, notice he says, Jesus preached the gospel of God. Jesus preached the gospel. What's the gospel, Brother Gary? It's the good news of Jesus Christ, that Jesus came, he lived, he died on the cross for all of our sins. And according to how you respond to that gospel would determine if you are in his kingdom or not. It's the same message today that it was back then. Notice, he said, Peter, you're going to open the door to the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the kingdom universal that's on earth. It is the church. Also, he opened the doors to the kingdom in Acts chapter 10 when he went and taught Cornelius, who was the first Gentile to enter the kingdom, the church of God. Now, most of us, unless there's some Jews in here, all of us ought to be slap happy this morning. And saying, glory, hallelujah, because not only was the gospel for the Jews who were initially God's chosen ones that he initiated his plan through, it is also for the Gentiles. And Peter opened the doors to the kingdom with Cornelius and his household who were baptized and received the Holy Spirit on that day. And so Jesus says, some of you that were standing here, you won't taste death until you see the kingdom. And Jesus, it came true because on the day of Pentecost, the doors to the kingdom of God were open. Yeah, they were open on that day. And so the kingdom is the church, and the church is the kingdom. Notice this. It's all, and it's not talking about, don't get it confused. There is a heavenly kingdom. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 18. 1 Timothy 4:18. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Notice that life is tough. Even those that's here in the kingdom of God on earth, it don't mean that life is a bed of roses. Amen. Sometimes life can be just so bad. Christian, Lord have mercy. You just think, man, what is going on? And see, this is not it. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, you work for a job, try to get a job, and you get a good job. You find out the job not what you thought it would be. Some of us, it take a long time for us to get married. We find a mate. You find out she wasn't all she was cracked up to be. You thought you were going to have heaven on earth. There is no such thing as heaven on earth. But there is a place. It's called the heavenly kingdom. Well, all our blessings are fulfilled. The Bible says there's no pain, no tears, no sorrow. There's no sickness. But if you're not in the earthly kingdom of God, don't think about going to the heavenly kingdom of God. Many anticipated and recognize the value of the kingdom. many anticipated. We talked about Nicodemus last week, and Nicodemus didn't understand what Jesus said. You must be born of the water and born of the Spirit. And we don't see that he actually got baptized, but we see that he was a believer and that he converted. But listen to Mark chapter 15 and verse number 43. Nicodemus's friend, who his co-worker, if you will, Joseph of Arimathea came, a prominent member of the council. Remember, Nicodemus was also a member of the council of the Sanhedrin. He came to Jesus by night. He came to him secretly. Joseph of Arimathea was also a member of the council, who himself waiting for the kingdom of God. Joseph of Arimathea heard the messages of Jesus that Jesus was teaching. He said, repent, the kingdom of God is near. Joseph heard these men. Now, I don't even believe that they quite understood exactly how the kingdom was going to come into fruition. Many of the Jews thought it was going to be some type of magic kingdom or military kingdom. But that wasn't what Jesus had in mind. But Joseph was waiting. And notice what he did. Joseph, who was waiting on the kingdom of God, he gathered up courage and went in before Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. He was a religious man, a Jew. He was in the council. And see, some of us get hung up on religion. Some of us think because we're religious, we're going to be saved. You know, a lot of people tell us, look, I don't have to go to church and I don't have nothing to do with the church. And excuse me, you're not understanding the word of God. The church is the kingdom. The kingdom is the church. And see, Jesus had much teaching about his kingdom. Joseph was waiting on the kingdom. Why was he waiting? Because he knew his salvation was tied up into the kingdom. And he asked for the body of Jesus. And he waited. What did he wait on, Brother Gary? He waited on the day of Pentecost, when Peter opened the doors of the kingdom and he preached the gospel and he obeyed the gospel. And then the verse that the brother read in your hearing, listen to Mark chapter 9, verse 47. Mark 9, 47. If your eye causes you to stumble, throw it out. Pluck it out, King James translation would say. It's better for you to enter the kingdom of God. I'm hoping this rings in your ears. See, because some of us we don't know what we got. Even we in the kingdom and don't realize what we got. He says it's better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell. Lord have mercy. Listen now. Notice he says it's better. And this is to those that's not yet in the kingdom, especially those that's not yet in the kingdom, because some people, for whatever reasons, they reject the word. They reject. And then some people hear the word, but they don't want to obey it because there is something that they don't want to turn loose. And Jesus is saying, my friend, my brother, my loved ones, I don't care what you got. See, you know how some people that's workaholics, or some people that's after that dollar. Well, Gary, I'm on a mission. I'm trying to be a millionaire. I'm working. I don't have time for church. I don't have time for spirituality. I hear what you're saying. Now, some of us have been there, haven't we? Some of us have been going, traveling down that road to thank the Lord. The Lord did something. Helped us to see something. There are so many individuals who have the dollar, but that's all they have. Lose family, lose health, lose self-respect. Don't sell out to the devil and cost your soul. And Jesus says, listen, if you understood the value of the kingdom, there is no job, there is no man, there is no woman, there is no addiction that's worth it. And he said, you need to let it go. Yeah, you need to let it go. Sometimes it's not about the dollar. We took the kids out this summer, one of the places that they were going, and seeing some individuals in some high professions, and one of them, you know, they were talking about money. You know, the first thing one of the kids went, well, how much money do you make? And I loved it when the sister said to him, you know what? It's not always about the money. She said, I'm going to tell you something. You get some of these jobs, and they paying all those high dollars, they own you. And sometimes the best choice is not about all the money, because you're making all this money, you don't have time to talk to your kids, to teach your kids, to kiss your wife. And the consequences that you end up losing your family, everything else, and more than that, we lose our. Jesus said this long time ago, my friend, about the kingdom of God. The apostles hammered the message of the kingdom. The apostles hammered the message of the kingdom. Listen to Acts 8:12. But when they believed Philip preaching the good news about the kingdom of God, notice they call it the good news, and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, men and women alike. Acts 19:8. And he entered the synagogue and continued speaking out boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. Acts 28:23. When they had set a day for Paul, they came to him at his lodging in large numbers, and he was explaining to them by solemnly testifying about the kingdom of God and trying to persuade them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and the prophets from morning to evening. That was the message about the kingdom. We taught you some of the teachings of Jesus that he taught, how we live in the kingdom. See, the kingdom is not just about you being baptized. It's a way of life. Amen. It's a way. He wants us, if the whole world was in the kingdom of God and living like the kingdom of God, we treat people like we want to be treated. Amen. We love even those who misuse us and despise us. We are light everywhere we go. And that was Jesus' purpose, to come in this world, to get everybody in his kingdom. And they preached it over and over again. Some people say, well, brother, that was what the apostles said. Listen to what Jesus said in Luke chapter 10 and verse 16. He empowers the apostles. He says, the one who listens to you listens to me. And the one who rejects you rejects me. And he who rejects me rejects the one who sent me. Jesus said, and make no bones about it. He says, their message is my message. My message is God's message. Listen to the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1. Finally then, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us instruction as to how you ought to walk and please God, just as you do actually, do walk, that you excel still more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. Then drop down to verse number 8. So he who rejects this is not rejected man, but the God who gives his Holy Spirit to you. Oh, we're talking about kingdom teaching, kingdom living, the kingdom of God. In Acts chapter 2 and verse number 42, the Bible said, then they continued devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to breaking of bread and to prayer. We're talking about the kingdom of God. And and in the Bible, the kingdom is clearly identified. Kingdom of God is clearly identified. Now, the kingdom of God on earth is, in this reference, is the universal kingdom. It's the kingdom not only in Houston, it's in Dallas and Fort Worth and Australia and Africa. It just refers to the same kingdom. Now notice, and we just illustrated that the kingdom is the church. The church is the kingdom is the church. And the Bible says, for husbands to love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And so when you reject the church, you reject Jesus Christ. When you reject the church, you reject the kingdom of God. When you reject the kingdom of God, you reject the salvation. Amen. That's just the truth. Now listen, I know young people, I know the world is pluralistic and there are so many different teachings. And some people say in this generation that we live in, people say, well, just let everybody do what they want to do, but that's not from God. Oh, that's not from God. Let me see if I can show you how this kingdom is identified in the Word of God. Listen to Colossians 1:13. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved son. Now, it's talking about the same thing. He says the kingdom of his beloved son. How this church is referred to as the kingdom of God, the kingdom of his beloved son. So that's Jesus, right? So it would be the kingdom of Christ. So when we are baptized into Christ, God, he's transferring us out of darkness. And so don't get mad because somebody say you're in darkness. When you're in sin, you're in darkness. I mean, that's just the truth. You know, we won't pacify sin. Sin is sin. I don't care who's doing it. Yeah. And he says he transferred, and that's what happens when we baptize. It's only the grace of God. It's by God's grace, and it's like nothing that we've done. You can't perform acts to get you clean. All you need to do is obey God. And God transfers us, he calls it, the kingdom of his dear son. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. And primarily, in the New Testament, this kingdom is referred to simply as the church. For instance, in 1 Corinthians 1, 2. 2 Corinthians 1, 2. 1 Thessalonians 1, 2. Colossians 1, 2. Ephesians 1, 2. It's called the church. Because during this time, as they were living, it was the church. It was only one church. One kingdom. Not all this confusion that we have today. But get where all this stuff come from. It take me too long to tell you. But let me read a little bit more. 1 Corinthians 1, 2. To the church of God. Now, and this is the identifying marks of this kingdom. Pure and simple that Jesus gave to us. He says, it's to the church of God. It's called the church of God several times in the Bible. Now, is that the name of the church? That is the identifying. See, what we are the church of Christ. We could be called the church of his beloved son. As long as folk know the son is Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the way. We're not talking about the son of God. We're not talking about the sepulcher of the Mount of Olives, sepulcher kingdom. The Bible gives, he says, to the church of God. And we know that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are one. He says, to the church of God, which is at Corinth. Now that is a local body. Now we have the kingdom universal. Now we get into Corinth, the church of God. So it's the kingdom of God at Corinth. Thank you, brother. Yeah, and so we see here now that's the local body. We're in Houston, Texas. And you live in Houston, Texas. And you're going to make Houston, Texas your home. You need to find a kingdom of God in your local area or somewhere. I'm willing to drive to the kingdom. That's all right. But you need to find a kingdom of God. The word church means assembly. It means, it's not you, me, by ourselves. The scriptures say where two or three are gathered together in my name. Because some folks say, I can worship God at home. Well, if you're providentially hindered, maybe you can. But God never intended for us to do this thing by ourselves. Listen to some other identifying marks in Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. He says, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Listen to 1 Timothy chapter 3, 15. But in case I'm delayed, I write so you'll know how one is to conduct himself into the household of God. Notice who always gets the glory. When we're talking about the kingdom, always the glory goes to God. It goes to his son, Jesus Christ. He says it's called the household of God, which is the church of the living God. So what we're doing now is trying to identify the kingdom that Jesus talked about in the Bible. He says it's called the household of God, the house of God, the church of the living God. And so if we are being identified, say, what church you go to? I go to the church of the living God. I go to the kingdom of God. I go to the church of God. I go to the church of his beloved son. No. So we when we're examining this, we're intellectually examining. We'll see, and you'll see it does make a difference to the Lord what we say. Let me 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17. 1 Peter 4, 17. For it is time for judgment to begin with, it's called again, the household of God. And if it begins with us first, what will the outcome for those, who do not obey the gospel of God? He says, listen, he says, it's going to come a time when God going to judge the whole world. He's going to judge the whole world. And I don't even know. See, I always was a scary child when I grew up. I watched my brothers. My sister and I didn't ever see her catch a whooping, but I watched my brothers get a whooping, and that saved me from a whole lot of whooping. It did. I'm not finna do no. And some scriptures I read, they push the fear of God in me. Some says that the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. And you know, you see people live in this world today, and they do things, and you act like they ain't scared of nobody. And I'm not saying, and I don't believe that God is trying to scare us into obeying him. But I tell you what, God don't play. You know, it's just the truth. Even as a parent, you know, how many of you love your children? Raise your hand. We all love our children. I know I love my children. I mean, I would bend over backwards. I would jump bridges. I'm already broke because I spent all my money. I love them with all of my heart. But have your children ever done anything that made you almost forget they were your children? Have your children ever done something like that? And it make you turn into somebody? Ooh, Lord, have mercy. I never forget. I heard my mother. But is my mother here this morning? Mama, raise your hand. I just want you to raise your hand. See, she got this green hat. She's so pretty. And many of you know my mother. She just as sweet as she could be. Y'all don't know my mama. This the God honest truth. This the God honest truth. I know she goes, boy, don't you? I'm going to say it, mama. I heard my mother say to one of my brothers, I won't tell you who it was. She said, son, I will kill you. Woo, Lord have mercy. Yes, she said it. She said, I will kill. And I heard her say it. I said, oh, Lord have mercy. I'm not trying to be, I'm really not trying to be humorous. But when you read the Bible, you read how good God is and how he's been so merciful. Scripture say he's long-suffering. He's not willing that nobody perish. But you know, I don't care how sweet you are. And you make the rules. And our house had rules. You make the rules, and you know somebody keep breaking the rules, and then after a while they don't listen to nothing, and you've laid it down and made it clear. And the scriptures say judgment is going to begin. To notice this, that's why if you say, well, it don't matter about the church or the house, judgment will begin in the household of God. That's where judgment begins. And if it first begins with us, and so that to us, those that's in the church, it says to us, don't think it's because you got your name on the church roll. You got a place sold up in heaven. This will keep me humble. I do. I told you I pray every day, Lord, please forgive me of my sins. Keep me right with you. Lord, I'm sorry. Help me with my mind, because I want to make sure I'm in the graces of God at all times. And that's why you need to know about the kingdom of God. He said, it begins. He said, what's going to happen to those who are not in the body? Those who are not in it. Let me finish reading Romans chapter 16:16. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. Now, we studying. And this is written. This is after Jesus died. The church is established. It's in a number of cities. And so you have the universal church, the universal kingdom of God. But you have these local bodies of Christ, the local bodies in the different cities, in Corinth and Ephesus and Thessalonica. But he says the churches of Christ salute. It's all the churches of Christ. It's all the churches who belong in the body. It's all who are the kingdom of God. It's all who are the kingdom of his dear son. It's the church of God. It's not no other church. How do you know that, Brother Gary? Because there wasn't any others at the time. And this is and I'm not saying, but where all these other churches come from? They come from men. They don't come from God. And no, let me finish read. He says this, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27, 1 Corinthians 12, 27. Now you are Christ's body. I'm giving you, what all I'm doing now is identifying the church in the Bible. I want you to know what the church, the kingdom, what it was called by God. It's called Christ's body. Why is it called Christ's body? Because the body is the church. Colossians 1:18, for he is the head of the body, the church. So the church is the body is the church. It says we are Christ's body. We could put up on our sign outside, Christ's body in Fifth Ward. And God would see that's mine. Now, not to say that a name makes you his body. But Lord have mercy, I do want to be called by the right name. Yeah, he says this in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the service, to the building up of the body of Christ. There it is again. So the body is the church, the building up of the church of Christ. Christ gets the glory. God gets the glory. Not Paul is a good man. Peter is a good man. Moses was a good man. Elijah was a great prophet. But never do you see God making the church one of those names. He says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1:8. I know I got to close. Who shall also confirm you unto the end? And Paul writing to the church at Corinth. And now, they are the church at this time. We just read to the church of God in 1 Corinthians 1:1-2. It says, who shall confirm you unto the end, that you be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ? See, and then the scriptures say, God is faithful. God, what that mean, Brother Gary? God not going to change. Amen. You know how some people wishy-washy? And some people, you see them today, they say, hey, how you doing? You see them tomorrow, they say, they don't even grunt at you. They don't speak to you. They don't say nothing. And Lord, you know, I'm telling you, boy, God shines his sun. Even if in the clouds, the sun still come up. Every day. It don't matter. Well, I'm going to see how they doing today. And God is faithful. He's faithful to his word. He promised long years ago, after the world was destroyed by water in Noah's day, he says, I'm going to place my bow up in the sky as an everlasting covenant. And that was 4,000 years ago. And we still seeing the bow today. Why? How are we seeing it? Because God is faithful. He says this. He says, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his son, Jesus Christ our Lord. That's what we are doing today. That's what Jesus did, because every time the gospel is preached, it's a calling. It's a calling of fellowship. God trying to bring us out of fellowship with the world into fellowship with him. He calls. That's all he does is call, because he don't twist your arm. He said, you were called into the fellowship of his son, Jesus, our Lord. Now I beg you, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. It does make a difference what we teach. It does. Well, Gary, I heard another preacher teach it that way. Well, I don't mind you comparing what I preach to anybody. I really don't. I don't. But all I say is, you, when you get through, you come back and bring the Bible and do better than that. Bring that other person with you. I'm willing. I will study with your pastor, with your pope, or your priest, or whoever it is, if they're willing to study, but they need to use the Bible, and that's what we'll study from. And you let the chips fall where they may. I'm not saying that I know everything and have all knowledge, but it's the scriptures say we are all to speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that we be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Then he dropped down to verse 12. Verse 12. 1 Corinthians 1, 12. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I'm of Paul, and I'm of Apollos. And you know how we are. We love people. And we love men, and we love women. And we'll say, well, I'm a Paul follower. And now, notice this. This was the church of God that Paul was writing to. And I got to close. He said, this is the church of God. So they are actually members of the body of Christ. They are in the kingdom of God. And some of them still playing this game. Well, I'm a Paulite. I'm an Apollosite. And aggravate, Paul says, thank God that I baptized none of you. You missed a whole boat. It does make a difference what we teach. It does make a difference what we believe. It does make a difference who we follow. And so you will notice. I don't know. I used to speak for most of the churches of Christ. I'm not a spokesman for most of the churches of Christ. I'm a spokesman for this local body right here at Fieldwater Church of Christ. But I know there are many preachers who preach the same thing I do. Some are wavering on it. But I do know what the Bible teaches. He says this in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning of 4, verse number 4. He says, there's one body. He says, there's one Lord, there's one faith, there's one baptism. He says, in other words, he says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace. He says, there's one Lord, one faith, there's one God that we serve, one faith system whereby God wants the whole world to be saved. There's one invitation that God wants given to the people that are out in the world in order to get them into the kingdom of God. There is one way. You can't come your way, and I come my way into the kingdom of God. And Peter preached, I would take you back to the first gospel sermon that was preached. And it's so plain and it's so simple. Because Peter simply preached Jesus unto them. He preached to me. He says, Jesus, the same Jesus you crucified now. He's both Lord and Savior. He's Lord and Master. He's the same Jesus who you crucified. He is the Savior. And he asked the question, men and brethren, what shall we do? He's told them, repent and be baptized, every one of you. On yesterday, our day of good works was, it was just so exciting. It's so beautiful to see all of our members working. And one of the most beautiful things is two individuals got baptized yesterday. Into Christ Jesus. Do we still get excited about somebody getting into the kingdom? Notice, if you're here now, if you're here this morning, and you're in the kingdom of God, you ought to, I know, Brother Gary, I'm heavy, my gallstones bother me. I got a headache. I was watching the news this morning, and they showed a lady got killed on Little York. We need to pray for the families. Oh, there's so much stuff going on. It's just crazy. It really is. And it really is depressing. Matter of fact, if you got your television set on CNN, change it sometime. Yeah. I just get sick of watching. Every time you turn in, then you know, this election year, I'd be glad we hurry up and pick a president. but listen, seriously, you're here this morning and your heart is heavy. And I'm, you know, one thing that humbles me as a as a preacher in the Church of Christ, I'm glad I served with 10 elders. It's so much go in our body. You know, our members go to the hospital, pray for Gary. I pray for him. I'm getting some tests, and I don't know what the doctor going to say. Every week we have a funeral. Everything. But see, that's why you need to read your Bible. Because this, I'm just started. They had some tough times in the Bible. And you know, you hear Paul say, through much tribulation, we shall enter. And I understand what he's talking about, because see, you know, that's why when I have a good day, I say, oh, I try to rejoice. Thank you, Lord. You have a birthday, you better say happy birthday. Because next day you might get some bad news. But if you're in the kingdom of God, right now, you have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you know what you have? It is priceless. And I say it, we're not living in fantasy land, because see, sometimes that's what those of us that's going through some trials, this will help you to get through that hard-headed husband. It would help you to get through when your child goes awry. Because sometimes my children, and I thank the Lord, everything pretty good right now. Praise the Lord Jesus. But boy, sometimes my children would do some things and it would just, ooh, Lord. But I have to remember, I don't want to go to jail if I'm doing something to them. And I have to remember, I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. I got hope. And whatever you do, don't you allow anybody in here or out there keep you out of heaven. Now, to those of you that's not in the kingdom, those of you that's the calling to the fellowship. And see, some of us are close. We have not completed our bit. Let me give you the steps real clear, so you understand this. And we hear it so much, we just take it for granted. The Bible says, so faith comes by hearing. I know somebody would help me with it. Hearing, because see, it's the same way. You have to have an humble heart. You have to be willing to listen to God. You know, okay, you younger than me. Well, don't listen to me. Listen to God. Jesus older than you. Hey, I'm repeating what he said. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why, now I would say in most churches of Christ, that's why you hear me, I read, and I do, I have notes. I try to stay as close to the word of God, because I want you to don't see me. I don't have enough sense. I surely don't have heaven to put nobody in. And I want to give you the word. I want to give you what God said, because I don't want you having no gate trouble because of something I said. You stay in that word. You stay as close to the word. When them preachers start preaching and philosophizing, well, you know, I know he said this, but it really is not, that's not what it's saying. You go back to the Bible. It comes by hearing by the word of God. You believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. This is how simple this is. Jesus came to this world. We've been examining his life. And I hope your faith, I hope that we've some kind of way enlightened you to understand Jesus is real. Yes. Because your salvation, according to the scripture, depends on whether or not you really believe that Jesus came to this world. He did what he said he was going to do. He absolutely did it. And you trust and believe that with all of your heart. Your salvation depends on it. Now, listen, hand me a dollar bill or something. Anybody got a dollar bill? Come on, give me a dollar. I know you got a credit card. Give me a dollar. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Ray. You always give me. Did I get your dollar back last time? Who's on the dollar bill? George Washington. Stand up if you've seen him. Not the picture of him. You haven't seen George? Do you believe George lived? Yeah. Why do you believe George lived? Yeah. Evidence. Evidence. Written documents. Now you say, well, Gary, I saw a picture. Well, you think that's a picture of him. There's more evidence. Can I get a witness? I gave his dollar back. There is more evidence, literal evidence, intellectual ones, those PhDs, doctors. I got a master's degree, the intellectual, smart folk. That you do a research this week on the evidence for George Washington and the evidence for Jesus. There is more evidence, literal, physical evidence for Jesus than George Washington. There are more literary documents written about Jesus with his name on them in multiple languages than George Washington. God says, he that believeth in him must be baptized. Notice this. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder. See, and that's the scripture says, those that diligently seek him, because, see, we're in a struggle. We're in a battle. And it takes some diligence. Sometimes we waver. Sometimes we stumble. But keep getting up. That's I say that that's to some who shun church because they were, you know, I don't my life, I don't know if I can do. Look, man, you got to fight. Anything worth something, you got to fight for. If you want to be successful in life, in your job, in your business, it's not gonna lay down for you. It's a struggle. It was a struggle for the apostles. It's gonna be a struggle for us. It's a struggle when you're living for the devil. Join a game. They have nothing to offer. You must be willing to repent of your sins. That's the attitude about sin. This is what some preachers don't give you. This says, change your mind about sin. That's the way of life. That's why Jesus says, he says, better to get into heaven with one eye. I don't know what it is. That's your rock, your burden, your load, your goody bag, your sweet daddy, your sugar baby. We can laugh, but yeah, I don't know what it is. What is it, church? Yeah. You know, it's amazing how amazing. Am I being too long? I'm about to finish. It's amazing. It's amazing. You know how much you think you got to have something. I can't live without it. I've heard sisters and brothers. And I'm not, you know, yeah, I've been married for 33 years, praise the Lord. Thing. Some people think when you get married, all your lusts go away. You don't want nobody. Married, don't raise your hand now. You getting married, don't take temptation away. Can I hear some? Can I get an amen? Amen. Somebody in here tell the truth, if you will. I got to have this person. You don't have to have nothing. And then they find somebody or they get somebody, they get mad. You know, they find it, you get mad. Everything turns sour, and the same person say, you know what? I don't need nobody. I don't need nothing. I just can be by myself. I don't know what your burden is. I don't know what your burden is. I don't know what we're holding on to. But Jesus said it would be better. It would be better. And you know what? You know what else? You know what else? I determined that I'm gonna fight with the Lord. That's all. Mine is you see, they that diligently seek him, I'm baptized, I'm in his kingdom, and whatever struggles I have, they gonna be with the Lord. And if I sin while I'm in the Lord, I'm gonna get on my knees, I'm gonna ask the Lord to help me. And I know the holy ones in there say, oh, but yeah, don't say it like that because people going to think they could do whatever they want to do. I know what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. But you're not perfect either. Amen. And one sister said, she said, but girl, you don't tell the church too much. I agree. I'm not out chasing women. Some of you old minds in the gutter right now. Well, here must got a girlfriend somewhere. I don't have no good Sister KB. Y'all don't know Sister KB. But life is not easy. But some of us, we trying to do this thing. You trying to hide from God? You trying to do it by yourself? And Jesus, the grace of God has made a way that is the best way. And all we need to do is humble ourselves. That's why he says repent. Change your mind. Whatever it is, call it sin. But Gary, you don't understand, because you grew up in a family. You got to, you know, you got a mom, you got dad. You ain't never been addicted on no. How you know? That's right. All of us probably, well, maybe I shouldn't say all. Well, maybe I should. All of us got something. Amen. But you not no prophet. Okay, we pray, Lord, please, if I'm lying. All of us have sinned. And all of us, there is the sin that so easily besets us. And so, but your mind, when you come to God, you got to repent. You got to change your mind about sin. But I'm in business, and you know, I make my money. The way I make my money, don't nobody else know. God knows. If you're stealing, you can steal by breaking in folk house. You can steal on your computer. Amen, somebody. Amen. Some folks smart can steal in their house and don't never leave their house. But stealing is stealing. Amen. Let him that stole steal no more, what the Bible said. Stealing is a sin. And your mind has to call sin what it is. And he says, repent. That's why Jesus came into the world. Don't pacify sin. Says repent. He told them repent, and you see, you got to confess Christ with your mouth. Whosoever, Jesus said this, whosoever therefore confess, this is the way you get to salvation. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, I'll confess him before my Father. This is one of the requirements to get in the kingdom. You can't be ashamed. Everybody in here, I know you're not ashamed. You're in the house of God. But how you act when you get on your job? Don't tell nobody. I'm a member of the church. Excuse me? You acknowledge that Jesus Christ is, if you acknowledge Jesus Christ, the Son of God, raise your hand. Do you do that at when you go to your 20-year reunion? And then he said, repent and be baptized. Every one of you. And I just believe somebody wants to be baptized today. Amen. To be in the kingdom. Now all your troubles don't go away. Amen. All your troubles don't go away. But I just don't know what we can get in, what we can do, that all our troubles go away while we're on this side. But can I get an amen to this? The Christian life is the best life. Amen. The kingdom life is the best life. Being in the kingdom of God and being in the kingdom that we can read about in the Bible is the most assuring thing, knowing that we are doing it God's way. If you're here today, you're not a member of the body of Christ, of Christ's body, of the kingdom of his dear Son, of the church of God, of the church of the living God, of the church of Christ. If you're not a member of the church that's in the Bible, then according to the scriptures, you're not in the kingdom of God. And if you want to be in that kingdom, then you can be added to that kingdom by God by doing just what God said to. Hear his word, believe it with all your heart, repent of your sins, confess Christ, and be baptized in the water for the forgiveness, for the remission of your sins. And you can do that today. And if you're here today, you were a Christian and you want us to pray for you, we'll pray for you. If you're here today and you want to get something right in your life, you have forgiveness of sins in Christ Jesus, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you might be healed. You're here today, we'll pray for you. Won't you come as we stand and sing song of invitation?